administration then crafted a far weaker replacement for this rule that was itself struck down by the courts of law, with Biden so far declining to resurrect the original Clean Power Plan or any more stringent alternative in its place. West Virginia and its allies hope to curtail any future attempt by the Environmental Protection Agency to become far more assertive in its interpretation of the landmark Clean Air Act, which requires power plants to use the best system of emission reduction. Environmental groups, which have lined up to oppose West Virginia's claims, worry that the case is a further example of a right-wing judicial system intervening to toss out rules it does not like, with the justification that they are too large, with damaging consequences for the climate crisis. Earlier this month, a Trump-appointed federal judge in Louisiana blocked the Biden administration from accounting for the real-world costs of climate change. Sean Donohue, counsel for Environmental Defense Fund, said, "Even though there is no rule in place, the case is important because coal companies and their allies are attempting to get the Supreme Court to establish a broad precedent that meaningful protections for public health and the environment should be scrutinized and discredited on judicial review." Sean Donohue added, "Petitioners' damaging legal theory would threaten our nation's ability to protect clean air, clean water, and safe food for all the people." To some onlookers, the case is an unwanted further complication to a challenge that already has little time to waste. Carol Browner, former administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency and now chair of the League of Conservation Voters, said, "There is no more time to delay curbing greenhouse gas emissions and finding solutions for a more equitable and just clean energy future."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Start. Movement.
Speed.
Living hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers, men and women of all ages, hope you're doing well. Wherever you are, just take a very special care of your health. Well, this is Arab English Radio. Right now, you're listening to a new episode of your most desired station, the one and only Youth Station.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
As usual, we're here to provoke thoughts on some very crucial issues. I am Asma, and I'm more than happy to be your host.
And yes. This is Zainab, and I am Asma's co-host today.
Yes, thank you for being here. I'm so happy to be here with you again.
I'm always glad to
on
be
Youth
with
Station.
You, Asma. I get so good energy.
Yes,
always
you're
with
full
you.
Of good vibes. Well, in literature, we have always had this topic of marriage and celibacy. You know, and there are plenty of beautiful things on that topic.
I would like to hear one of them.
Of course, I would share them with you. Just wait. One of them is by Thomas Peacock.
Okay.
Who says, marriage may often be a stormy lake, but celibacy is almost always a muddy horse pond.
Wow.
You know, another one is that, if I'm not mistaken, it says marriage has many pain, but celibacy has no pleasure.
Listening to be what? In the middle of nowhere?
Yes. Standing in the middle of nowhere. Okay. Exactly like the situation that we are right now in today's world.
Exactly.
You know? There are some people who are very much advocating marriage. And there's some other people who are extremely against marriage, and they prefer
to be single.
Yes, so they prefer celibacy.
Yeah.
What's your idea? Which one is better?
See, being single is not better. Obviously, it's against Islam. It's against Quran. Because
now let's talk as a girl. Now you're married. Do you have independence? Do you have time for your own?
Don't ask me that on air. I am stable, basically.
Mm-hmm.
While I was single, very much stable. I was like, I had independence in a lot mm-hmm. of things. But like, once you get married, you have a particular direction. I have to, this is my life partner and I have to move in this direction with him.
More responsibilities, you know. What scares everyone is responsibility.
But you can divide them. If you have a good partner, I think what
stops
you from getting married,
yes.
I think what stops you from getting married and being single is not choosing a good partner
mm-hmm.
or having heard the stories.
But it does not happen for everyone, you know. Not everyone has a chance for getting the right person.
Okay, show me a person who has chosen a right person and then is preferring to be single.
No, I told you, if you have a good partner, then life is easier. Who doesn't like to have a partner who would shoulder half of the responsibilities?
Even science says that at a particular age, at a particular point of time, especially when you're in your teens, mm-hmm. towards the end of your teens, you need an intellectual partner. You need an emotional partner and mm-hmm. you definitely need a physical partner.
Exactly.
That in as per Islam, we need to make it like a halal relationship. We need to go for a nikah. All right?
Exactly. So, for marriage, that
go
is.
Go for marriage. Like once you are married, you have all those partners. Your partner is your intellectual mm-hmm. partner. He's your emotional partner. He's your physical partner. He's your partner in each and every phase of life, every sphere of life.
So we're going for a little break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
What do you think? Why people are scaring to get married?
Because looking from outside of the story,
okay,
you would see that marriage, not always, just as I told you, and as you said, when you have a good partner, everything seems smoother and life is so pitchy. But in many cases, when you don't have a good partner, it seems that marriage cripples you. You have many responsibilities.
You have been broken. You're alone. Your wings are...
The independence you used to have once at your father's house, you would no longer have it. You know, you sleep, you wake up whenever you want, you sleep at an hour you wish, you do things you want, you go out with your friends, you don't have to...
You don't have so many responsibilities.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to cook at a certain time. You don't have to take care of the kids.
But as per me, I think the point that stops people, the most important reason that stops people from getting married and staying single is they don't believe that it's provision. They don't believe that is jobs, is money, you know. Mm-hmm. They think if we have a partner in our life, we should have enough money to feed that. We should have enough money to keep that person
so you
happy.
Mean not having enough money.
But I think that's a lame excuse as well. Because we are seeing so many people, especially in the West, who say we are single.
Mm-hmm.
But once they are single, they're ready to mingle as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
we see them in so many relationships. We see them in relationships.
And most of the time, toxic relationships.
Yeah. Once you're married, you give less gifts to your partner, you know.
Yeah.
But once you're not married, but still you're involved in a haram relationship, you're still giving gifts. You're still, giving that
you
money.
You have to please them a lot.
You have to please them. You have to please them.
Because you're not good. Unmasked. You're wearing a mask on
exactly.
your face.
And you only see good things, you know. Asma, mm-hmm. I mean... You don't see very negative phases of life. Once you're living with the person, you're getting married, you see where this person is taking out his socks, where is he keeping,
exactly.
what are his good habits, what are his
Your
bad.
True face is
true
completely
face is
out.
It's on now, yes. You know, that you're not wearing that mask anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lame excuse as well that we use mostly that I need to earn more money to keep the person happy. You're already spending a lot of money.
You know, now I told you from the point of view of a girl. What would stop a boy from marriage?
Money.
Money, mostly money.
Mostly money. It's mostly money. The less money a guy has, he so much stays away from getting into marriage because he thinks that now I have to... I'll be having a lot of responsibilities.
What about they wish to have a freedom in relationship? Whenever they want, they start a relationship, and whenever they wish, they would cut it. There is no responsibility. In marriage, we do not have such a thing.
We don't have such a
thing. They would think a million times before they take action for divorce.
Exactly.
But in, as you mentioned, in free relationships, there is no such a thing.
They
do not have
free relationships anymore. I call them haram relationships.
Exactly. Exactly. That's very true. Yeah. The thing that we see in Western life, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Why I said that they are haram relationships, and at the same time, they're getting the reasons of money and provision and all. Allah, He promises in Quran that if you get married, I'll increase your provision.
Yes.
I'm the one who's going to give you provision. Why are you worried about provision? And once you have a good partner, you know, the problem, the exact problem, as per me, is at the point of choosing a partner.
Exactly.
The one you're choosing.
Before marriage, you have to give it
a perfect
thought.
If you're choosing a lazy person,
mm-hmm.
like a girl, as a girl, if I choose a lazy person to get married, I should be for the rest of my life. And I'll become an example for others, like, not to get married.
Also a lazy man. It is no difference, you know? Both.
No.
Laziness for both gender is such
It's bad,
a...
but especially for men, it's bad. Because man is the one who is go out and work and get provision for his family.
Exactly.
Yeah. If a man comes out to be lazy... Mm-hmm. And the lady is upset with it.
The lady would lose the motivation for a living.
She'll lose. And whosoever will see her, everyone will
notice
stay away.
The fact that she...
Stay away from marriage. They'll prefer to be single. So it's basically the person makes mistake while choosing a partner. That way he becomes example for others.
Music.
So until this point of our discussion, we came to the point that what scares those who are not married, who are single from marriage, is responsibility.
Staying away from responsibility.
Yes, actually, staying away from responsibility or adding to your own responsibility.
Not getting those wings at all, just flying more. Which you can fly also
and
with
also
your partner.
We said mostly for boys, lack of money stops them from marriage.
Yeah, lack of jobs, lack of money, because I mean, Islam tells you.
Or if they do not have any border or any special creed, maybe they want to have free relationships and they think it's more available for them. We were talking of reasons why single people
prefer to be single.
Yes, prefer to be single.
I think the main as we discussed, there's so much.
Yes, there's so much.
But the main as we discussed.
But I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
Honestly speaking, marriage makes you more responsible than the time you are at your father's house.
It makes you
being a boy or a girl.
But it makes you grow as well.
Yes, exactly.
It makes you grow. It makes you an amazing person. It makes you mature.
If you have a good partner, as you just mentioned, there is a condition for a happy marriage, which is a good partner.
Good partner. At least, if nothing, we have in so many narrations, Imam Qasim al-Islam says, do not give your daughters to someone who has bad morals.
Bad-tempered, yes.
Who has bad morals, who has bad ethics. And do not accept daughter from someone who has bad ethics, bad morals, who is bad akhlaq, what
yes,
we say
that is
in
very
Persian.
True.
Imams are basically giving us conditions.
Having manners is very important.
Once you have manners, then only you can keep your partner happy.
Yes, yes.
Once you have, you know, it's not always, I think, why people stay away from marriage is looking at others' life whose life has become hell. But their life has become hell because of choosing
the
wrong partner.
And the number of those bad experiences is increasing by time. Now, we can't talk about the reasons because that would be a
very,
single
very
session for itself.
Yeah, exactly. So I think basically the thing, Asma, that, you know, people are basically comparing their life with the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
They, especially the people who have made, who have mistakenly chosen a wrong partner. So I think the most thing that should be worked upon is choosing a partner.
Exactly. And thinking before marriage is the most important
that's
part.
That's important. And even Islam says that, does that mean that we should marry a jobless person? We should marry a person who does not earn at all?
Mm-hmm.
No. We should marry a person who at least provides you a house.
A respectful life.
Islam says three things at least.
Yes.
Respect comes from same akhlaq that Imam Qasim al-Islam said, that we rightly mentioned. It comes from, he should provide you a shelter.
Yes.
He should provide you clothes to wear.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to provide you food. Islam does not say go beyond, now you should be having a luxurious
extremely
house.
Having all the happiness in the world at once.
Yeah, yeah.
You in should, one night going
but
into
but these three things are important.
Tale.
At least one person should not get married at a point when he has nothing at all, when he cannot even afford to give clothes to his wife too, so that she can wear on, you know?
Yes.
But that does not mean he's not able to provide her luxury clothes. No, no, no. That's not mentioned anywhere. Provide her simple clothes. Provide her simple shelter. Okay?
Yes,
provide
that's
her,
very true.
Even if you're taking a rented house, but at least you should be
in the end,
the capability of paying that rent.
In the end, no matter which person you pick, life is not a fairy tale story. You
exactly.
would have problems. Yet, there are some people who prefer to live their life.
That happens only in the films.
Yes. So, thank you for listening to us. It was such a pleasure to be with you.
You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
Youth Station.
And this is Zainab bidding you farewell. If you wish to listen to any of our previous programs, you can go back to our site parstudent.com, go to Call of Islam, and an archive of our programs will come there. You can listen to any of your favorite programs. So
exactly.
This is
you
Zainab.
Can stay tuned.
Saying goodbye and Asma.
Yes, may Allah protect you from all the bad things. Thank you for listening to us.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and condolences to you all on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the seventh infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We now present you a short but sweet statement from him. The best kind of almsgiving is to help the weak.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Welcome to the light. Students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbe Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It's fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf. Last but not least, the 16th Fajr International Poetry Festival has wrapped up with an award ceremony in Tehran. The literary event aims to honor Persian poets from Iran and the world with the ultimate goal of elevating Persian poetry. Yusuf Jalali has more.
an occasion to honor poets and poetry. The 16th edition of Fajr International Poetry Festival saw its closing ceremony in Tehran, where the best Persian poetry works of the year were acknowledged and awarded. During the event, participants from Iran and other countries contended in different categories, including classic poetry, modern poetry, and children and young adults.
I won the prize for the best poetry book for children and young adults. My book is titled Silence in the Mother Tongue. I'm so glad that my effort is seen, judged, and acknowledged by top Iranian literary personalities from the jury of the festival.
Certainly, Fajr Poetry Festival is of great significance to me as an Afghan poet. Here, literary experts from Iran, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, and many parts of the world can network and make joint efforts to promote the Persian language.
Iran is known as the land of poets, being home to many world-renowned literary figures over the centuries, including Rumi, Hafez, and Khayyam. Experts here believe Persian poetry has no expiry date, and not only do Iranians still read ancient poems, they're also interested in modern prose and poetry.
Poetry is a beautiful language that speaks the beauty of the world, and such a language always communicates very well with the hearts of human beings. Iranians have long understood the beauty of this language and still listen to it and read it in its every form and genre.
Fajr International Poetry Festival was launched in 2006 as a platform for Persian poets from Iran and other Persian-speaking countries to get together for the elevation of Persian poetry. However, the literary event has grown to encompass non-Persian poets who are interested in Iranian literature.
Poetry holds a special position among Iranians, and you can rarely find an Iranian family that doesn't have a poetry book in their bookshelves. Now, aside from acknowledging Persian literary figures and poets, Fajr Festival seeks to preserve this long-standing culture and introduce it to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Color, beauty, and entertainment. The French city of Nice hosts a dazzling and flashy event. The so-called Battle of the Flowers took place on Saturday. Performers on top of animal-themed floats waved at the crowd and threw flowers at the audience while musicians played live. Each of the 16 floats was decorated with around 3,000 flowers. Also, thousands of people attended the event. The Battle of the Flowers is part of the carnival in Nice, which has been held annually for almost 150 years. An endangered Mediterranean monk seal has embarked on a new solo adventure after spending months under the care of conservationists. Four-month-old Evie was released back into the wild on February 15th in northern Greece. Evie was rescued when she was only 7 days old. She had been washed ashore and separated from her nursing mother during a storm. However, conservationists found the lucky seal and started taking care of her. Even though Evie's health was poor, she recuperated quickly.
She was really dehydrated in the beginning, which is very common with pups that separate from their mothers at such an early age. And the first few weeks were critical for her health because there's basically no way to replenish, like to replace the mother's milk. So we have a certain protocol and a food regimen that we provide along with vitamins and other supplements to the seal. And thankfully, in the first few weeks, she showed signs of her health status became better.
The conservationists hope Evie will be able to join a community of her species soon. They will be tracking her movements with a chip. There are only a few hundred Mediterranean monk seals left in the wild. About half of them live in Greece. Entrapment from fishing, pollution, depletion of food resources, and climate change are some of the threats facing the species.
History shows a gun barrel never stops people from acquiring their learning tools. A bookshop in the besieged Gaza Strip is a testimony as book lovers flooded the store months after it was flattened in an Israeli airstrike. The new Samir Mansour bookshop, funded by an international donor campaign, now stands some 200 meters from its original site. It was destroyed by an Israeli airstrike on the west of Gaza City last year. The new shop is spread across two floors and is stocked with some 400,000 books. They range from school texts to the Quran to Arabic translations of European literary classics. Hundreds of people, including writers and Palestinian officials, attended the bookshop's reopening. The store first opened its doors 30 years ago and is considered the oldest and the biggest in Gaza.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The City of London usually welcomes arts and culture from all over the world, including Iran. In our next report, Bianca Rahimi will be taking us to a performance that fuses music from across the East.
A dream has become a reality. The Conference of the Birds, composed by the brilliant young musician Mehsan Marvasti and inspired by a poem of the same name written by poet Attar of Nishapur in the 12th century, performed here in London. It's a story all Iranians are familiar with, about an epic journey to find the Simurgh.
The Simurgh is to the east what the phoenix is to the west, a mythical creature that symbolizes transformation. And the story of the Simurgh is a spiritual one, full of courage, determination, and self-discovery.
Well, I think it's the first time I've seen so prominently advertised a non-Western musical traditional concert. And I've got a long-standing interest in music from the different parts of the Islamic world. It kind of evokes sort of deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. And the fact that this specific concert is about kind of a spiritual poem, it taps into something which I think a lot of us are looking for, especially in this post-pandemic, current pandemic situation. We're looking for some deeper meanings. So I think it will be striking a chord for a lot of people.
It's a mix of fusion of different music, and that's always interesting. And it's Eurasian music, and it uses different instruments from across Asia to represent birds, and it just sounded lovely.
Even though there are differences, cultural differences between these places and these peoples, and those differences should be recognised in general, that through things like music and art, there can also be synergy and, things can work together as well.
5 years in the making, the Conference of the Birds, conducted by Farnoush Behzad, brought together musicians and instruments from across the world. It fuses Azeri, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, Afghan, Armenian and Persian music, brought to the audience by a Western orchestra. The performance was accompanied by two elocutionists who narrated the story and animated clips of birds and their migratory lives. The art and culture of Iran needs no introduction, renowned worldwide. But young Iranian artists living far from home are always looking for ways to capture the spirit of their homeland and offer Western audiences a taste of Iran. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Axolotls are unique Mexican amphibians at risk of extinction, and many conservation programs are now trying to save these strange-looking animals. An ecological park in Mexico City is the latest place to celebrate them. It has held a ceremony for releasing baby axolotls into their natural habitat, which is the mud. These amphibians are so special that even a number of city officials attended the event. Conservationists say having a clean environment is key to their survival.
I've managed to breed up to 22,000 axolotls.
In all of Xochimilco, there are 90 axolotls across 90 kilometers, but the quality of the axolotls depends on the quality of biologist you are. Bad quality water has killed anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000.
Researchers have discovered that axolotls can absorb oxygen from the surface of their skin and are therefore more vulnerable to dirty water and environments. More than 70 breeding centers across Mexico have joined the rally of saving these critically endangered species. Many are even marketing them as ideal pets, but to animal advocates, keeping axolotls as pets is a definite no-no.
Now, for those who are interested in archaeology, the remains of 14 mummies have been unearthed at an ancient site in central Peru. The mummies, believed to be over 1,000 years old, include 6 children and 8 adults. The tomb containing the bodies was found at an archaeological complex about 25 kilometers from the capital, Lima. Researchers discovered other objects such as clay pots, decorated calabashes, and some knitting gears near the mummies. They believe the children and adults were sacrificed in honor of a prominent local figure whose mummified body was found last November in the same area. Van Dalen says the discovery provides them with the oldest evidence of child sacrifice associated with the burial of an elite character in the pre-Inca era. The city of Cajamarquia, which was built out of mud in around 200 BC, is considered as one of the largest archaeological complexes in Peru.
A miniature bull in Germany's Bavaria is proving that size does not matter, as the small bovine makes himself comfortable in his new herd at an animal sanctuary. This tiny bull had a lucky escape and was rescued from a farmer who was taking him to a slaughterhouse. The mini cow is named Napoleon and was born with a genetic defect. Just 8 months old, the diminutive bull has already reached his full size. Napoleon might be small, but he is mighty and daring, as he is not afraid of joining a herd consisting of big and huge animals.
Napoleon belongs to the Dexter breed, which produces rather small cattle anyway. They grow up to be about 1.2 meters. With his 80 centimeters, he is of course far below that. Despite his size, he feels like a complete bull and is in a good mood. He has settled in with us very quickly, which we are very happy about. He also has a lively effect on the herd.
The little bovine now lives with 100 other rescued livestock. His rescuers say he gets along with other animals and has already become friendly with another rescued cow. The Dexter is a breed of cattle first originated in Ireland. They are usually bred for high-quality meat and milk.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Salam and Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to. At first step of this episode, we offer you our condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Kazim, peace be upon him.
The Shia are screaming, crying that their Imam is dead, and the skies are testifying
that holy blood was shed. The Shia are screaming, crying that their Imam is dead. And the skies are testifying that holy blood was shed over his body. They cry, can't you see? They cry, can't you see? Over his body. They cry, can't you see? They cry, can't you see? Over his body.
Today, Sunday, is the 25th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Isfand, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Shia Muslims all around the world, please accept our condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Kazim, peace be upon him.
Oh, Musa, the Jafar, Ya Musa, the Jafar. Ya Musa ibn Jafar, Ya Qab al-Hawaj, Ya Musa ibn Jafar.
On the 27th of Rajab, the month of Rajab in the year 183 of Hijrah, when news of the martyrdom of the seventh Imam spread in Baghdad, an old man started crying incessantly. When asked the reason, he recalled the day when his farmland was afflicted with pest and his entire crop was damaged. The old man said, "I lived honestly and never did I stretch out my hands towards the people. But since I was in debt, I wondered how I could repay my loan. I was in that state of confusion when I saw Imam Kazim approach and ask how much loss did I incur as a result of destruction of the crop. I said 120 dinars. The Imam smiled and handed me a purse containing 150 dinars. The Imam's kind and affectionate look, which was without any air of pride or superiority, fascinated me. I pressed his kind hands in attitude. Although I was very embraced, I accepted his financial help, and the Imam advised me never to be disappointed of Allah's mercy. Now I'm crying this day because a great man has left us, the one whose humbleness and kindness was a byword, and who always cared about the needy. Condolences on the martyrdom of the great man of the progeny of Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Kazim, peace be upon him. Bab al-Hawaij, that means the door to fulfilling people's needs. Without the least doubt, Imam Kazim was a shining luminary who continues to glow radiantly till this day as Bab al-Hawaij, or the great way of needs. Although it is more than a millennium and four centuries since his passing away, has certainly left a lasting legacy. He lived at a crucial juncture of history. His imamate lasted 35 years, and his epithet Kazim means restrainer of anger or emotions, since he was subjected to very harsh treatment and periods of imprisonment by the tyrannical Abbasid regime. But even under such severe conditions, he guided the people and showed them the pure, pristine path of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household. The Ummah realized through his simple life and outstanding characteristics that he was the door of guidance compared to the misled ways of the Abbasid caliphs, who squandered public treasury and committed every crime against the Muslims. The seventh Imam is, spite of restrictions upon him, spared no effort to enhance people's awareness and uplift their intellectual status. Dear brothers and sisters, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of a great man, Imam Kazim, alayhi salam. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the martyrdom anniversary of the 7th infallible Imam, Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. As the 7th infallible Imam, Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam was imprisoned or spent much of his time in several prisons in Baghdad. One of the prayers of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam was that, O Allah, you know that I've always requested you to place me in a seclusion so that I would be able to worship you in a quiet place. Hence, I thank you, I appreciate your kindness to have provided me with this opportunity. It's indicated in historical records that he was imprisoned in several prisons, or he was taken from one prison to another. And one of the prisons that Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam spent much of his time was in Baghdad, and the person who was in charge of torturing him was a Jew named Shahak or Shahak. At the same time, while he was still imprisoned, Harun al-Rashid, the Abbasid Caliph, the Abbasid ruler, found out that day by day, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam received more and more fame, such that some of his jailers became very much interested in him and attracted to him. And in order to silence Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, one day the Abbasid ruler Harun decided to poison him. To do this, Harun al-Rashid requested some dates, and when he was provided with those dates, he had some of them, and as for the rest, he ordered them to be poisoned and sent them to Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam in the jail. Then Harun al-Rashid sent the rest of the dates, all poisoned, to the same jail, and ordered Sandi ibn Shahak, who was the jailer of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, to force Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam to have those poison dates. And when Sandi insisted on Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam's having more poisoned dates, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam answered him that the amounts that he had already had were enough for his mission. And because of this poisoning, Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam was martyred. Prior to this crime, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam told some of those people who were around him that he was going to be martyred through being poisoned, and it came true. Then he was buried to a place where is now the holy shrine of Imam al-Kadim alayhi salam. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining to today's special from IRIB English Radio. On the anniversary of Imam Kazim's martyrdom, we have a special program, and in this part we'll listen to a short story about Imam Musa al-Kazim and Abu Hanifa. One day, when our seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim, was only 5 years old, Abu Hanifa asked him who is responsible for our deeds. Does man do them of his own free will, or does Allah make him to them? Imam Musa al-Kazim replied that there are three possibilities. 1. Allah makes men do them. 2. Both Allah and men are responsible. And 3. Man does them alone. If the first is true, then Allah should be judged on the day of Qiyamah, Resurrection Day, and sent to heaven or hell. If the second is true, then both Allah and men should be judged on the day of Qiyamah and sent to the heaven or hell. The only one that is true is the third one, because only men will be judged on the day of Qiyamah and sent to heaven or hell, as only man alone is responsible for his actions and deeds to the heaven. Although Allah has power over everything, He allows us to do as we please so that we may be held accountable for our deeds on the day of Qiyamah.
Allahumma salli ala al-amin al-mu'tamar Musa ibn Ja'far al-barr al-wafi al-tahir al-zakim.
They took the body of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, gharib, alone in Baghdad. They put his body on the bridge known as the Bridge of Baghdad for 3 days. The Shia were too scared to go and bury the body of their Imam. Just like his grandfather, Gharib Karbala, he also stayed there for 3 days. He stayed on the Bridge of Baghdad for 3 days. And the Shia would go pass in a subtle way by the bridge. They look at their Imam and they weep in aza. They weep in grief until they went and they told the uncle of Harun al-Rashid. They told his uncle, it looks really bad that you leave Musa ibn Ja'far on the Bridge of Baghdad for so long. Do something. So his uncle, the uncle of Harun, says, okay, let's go bury him. And that's why then Harun pretended that, my gosh, Musa has been killed. So he takes off his imamah. And he comes and walks in the procession of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. Now, because the uncle of Harun, Abbasi, is taking care of the ghusl and the kafan, the Shia now walk with him. So there is the procession of Imam al-Kazim salamullahi alayhi. But one of the Shia says, I saw something strange, a wonder. I saw that the one who was doing the ghusl and the kafan was Ali ibn Musa. I saw the Imam with my own eyes. People were doing the ghusl, but they were not doing the ghusl. They thought they were doing the ghusl. The one who was doing the ghusl was his son, Ali ibn Musa. The one who did the kafan was Ali ibn Musa. The one who prayed the salat was Ali ibn Musa. The one who buried was Ali ibn Musa. Salamullahi alayhi. And he was buried, gharib, alone in Baghdad, where he is today, next to his grandson, Al-Imam Al-Jawad, salamullah alayhi, who is also the gharib of Baghdad.
Ya Aba al-Hasan, ya Musa ibn Ja'far, ayyuha al-Kazim, ya ibn Rasulullah.
We end this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. We leave you in Allah's protection. And again, on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Kazim, peace be upon him, we ask you to keep us in your dua. Fi amanillah.
وَتَوَسَّلْ بِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ
وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وديها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.